Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the regularly scheduled April 5th meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Trustees. The board previously met in closed session. We had two items discussed. One, a personnel item, status of negotiations with MEC, and direction was given to staff. Two, conference with labor negotiator regarding an unrepresented employee, that being Russell Miller, Assistant Superintendent of Business Services, and direction was given to staff. Let's see, do we have consensus on the order of business?
Yo, Madam Chair.
Everybody's good? Okay.
We never did this before, anyway.
And we're moving to approval of the minutes.
I would like to move to approve.
Moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by Mr. Millar. Those in favor?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I have a question on page 6 of the minutes. Oops. Page 6 under action discussion number 9, approval to hire reading recovery teacher leader. And I ran this by Ed this afternoon, and the first paragraph I thought was fine. No problem with that, that we got some information on reading recovery, the cost of the program, and so on. The second paragraph I had problems with in the second sentence of the second paragraph. It says a motion in the second paragraph says it was adopted to direct staff to recruit a reading recovery teacher, a leader for the 2005-2006 school year to be paid from the general fund, with the understanding the teacher leader duties would commence in the 2006-07 school year. That was fine. That was not. Here was my problem. It said further, it was recommended that in the event no suitable candidate emerges, the board directs staff to either recruit and fund an in-district candidate to spend a year in training to become a reading recovery leader teacher, or to continue to recruit an already trained teacher leader in 2005-2006. And my problem with that was I felt that we had also added something to it, because we had talked about the cost of the approximately $200,000 to send somebody off while the program is still ongoing, that we would, if we could not find somebody to recruit somebody from our district that would fall into step there, that while we discuss the other option, choosing somebody, sending them off to train for a year and so on, we would also look at other alternative programs. And Ed graciously said that he would look at the tape and see if that was part, because I felt that was part of the discussion. If we're talking about in 1 year's time spending over $400,000, even though $200,000 of it would be a one-year deal, that's an awful lot of money when the program right now is running as close to $200,000 a year for 150 students. So I don't know how many of the rest of you, how you remember it, but are you willing, trust him to go and look at the tape, oh God, and come back to us with what? An honest appraisal of what was said. So that's my comment. Other than that, I move that we accept the minutes as they are.
So what we're saying is that we would accept the minutes with the caveat that there would be review of item 9 on page 6 by Dr. McIntyre.
Yeah, and I think what I would review on the tape, and it would be hard to misrepresent it, but would be to see what the motion was that the board took action on and just report back to the board what it was and proceed from there, and then act upon the motion because you passed it.
Does that satisfy you, Mrs. Botwin?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Then Mr. Millar.
I just want to comment that I do recall the discussion. I felt at the time that it was beyond the agenda item that we had before us, and I was uncomfortable with it. I do not believe there was a consensus on the part of the board to do any of the part involving, if we can't find a suitable candidate, let's come back and look for a new reading recovery delivery model. I know Mrs. Botwin expressed that concern, but I think the minutes truly reflect the action that was taken by the board.
Okay.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, please. It's not that I don't trust you, Mr. Millar, but Ed's going to come back with the...
I think I don't see any harm in refreshing. Okay. So then, what's the motion? The motion...
To approve the minutes.
To approve the minutes with the caveat that item 9 on page 6 will be reviewed, will be verified or reviewed and reported back to us. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Now, we have a presentation scheduled, the Santa Lucia Regional Occupational Program, but I understand that the person who was to make that presentation has been called away, and Mrs. Botwin is familiar with him. Do you see him present?
No, I don't see him present. He said he would try to be here, if not right at the beginning, close to it. But if not, if he couldn't, his mother had an emergency come up, and he had to take her to the hospital. So if he couldn't, he would try to arrange with Kim for a future date.
To reschedule?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So passing by that, we move to correspondence. No correspondence has been received to my knowledge. Okay. Public comment.
Colette Joyce.
Thank you for your time. Again, my name is Colette Joyce. I'm the parent of three students in San Luis Coastal. One of them is an eighth grader at Laguna, and that's what I wanted to discuss, is about a Spanish situation that's happening at his school. I've already been in contact with Dr. Valentine and with Mr. Anderson about it, and they've been helpful. And really what I'm looking for is just to make you aware of the situation and to prevent it from happening again in the future at high school or at another level. Briefly, what's happened is his regular teacher, and this is in, I think, two periods, and probably the Spanish wheel as well, fell ill earlier in the year. And over time, it was discovered that she was going to be unable to return. Because of the uncertainty of her return and what I would call a series of unfortunate events, so to speak, they've had over about 10 Spanish teachers. Granted, probably four of those or so were for more than a month, but the rest were for periods of a week to 2 days to whatever. I've interacted with Steve Anderson throughout this. He's been informative. He's been supportive. He's been doing his best. He's worked with human resources and administration has been working on it. However, and they've maintained that they'll be able to go into Spanish too and proceed next year. I think it kind of remains to be seen how they'll actually perform in that class. And I just feel it's undesirable that this has happened, and just ask that we can learn from it. And then if the administration brings up some resources that they need or some creative avenues for cooperation with tutors or language schools or something like that, that you would have your ears open and ready to hear that. And that's my request.
Yes, Mr. Millar.
Colette, what's your estimation of your child's progress this year, and do you think your child is going to be prepared for Spanish 2?
I'm not bilingual. So, you know, of course I'm the parent, so I'm probably biased. I think he's a smart student. I think most of the students that took the class as an elective are smart, engaged students. I think they'll probably do okay. I think they'll struggle. I think they're a little disillusioned and frustrated, and if they picked it as their elective, they're not real hot on Spanish right now. And so I just think it's unfortunate, and I just don't want it to plague him throughout high school. So that's it.
Thank you very much. Is there any other member of the public that wishes to address the board? Yes, please.
Hello, my name is Heather Smith. I live in the Arbors neighborhood, and I have a son in first grade and a son in third grade there, and this is regarding the boundary adjustment conversation. that is on the item 6.
Did you want to speak now or wait until item 6 is discussed? It's your choice.
Now would actually be great. Is okay. That going to work for the board?
Sure, yeah? Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I guess my main issue that I would like some feedback from involves busing-related issues, not short-term like next year, but future years for families that might choose to be grandfathered in or take you up on the offer to grandfather your children in to stay at Sinsheimer. As you know, 40-plus children in the neighborhood, which is about 40% or so of the kids that go to Sinsheimer, take the bus. And given the past history of the realignment of this one neighborhood just about 7 years ago, the history of that remains in all of our memories quite strongly, I think many of the parents are concerned about not necessarily this coming year, which there's a proposal on the table for how to deal with that, which seems quite useful, actually, but it's future years that would be of interest and concern to us. So I know that there are many parents who might choose, if the busing situation 3, 4, or 5 years out, say for those of us with young children that are at Sinsheimer, what might happen in those years with regards to bus transportation. And I do know the last time this realignment happened in our neighborhood, 6 or 7 years ago, there was a bus service alternative for 1 year, and then there were questionable solutions to doing that in future years. I think this year you all have addressed this in a more formal way, which we certainly appreciate a lot. But it seems unlikely to me that a strategy like is being proposed for next year would be doable or workable or even cost-effective 2, 3, or 4 years out. So, for example, the current solution is to have a bus come through the Arbors, pick up both children that are going to Los Ranchos and children going to Sinsheimer, drive around to a transfer location, transfer the kids that are going to Los Ranchos to a different bus, and ship them to Los Ranchos and then kids to Sinsheimer. So if next year, for example, the majority of the children were staying at Sinsheimer, you have only a few children that are transferring. But imagine 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, where that mix of student population slowly starts to change, which it should, and it would, right? So fewer Sinsheimer kids, more Los Ranchos kids, that alternative arrangements, I think, would need to happen. And for parents that want to keep their kids at Sinsheimer and take you up on the offer to grandfather, is it going to be the case that we have reliable bus service that doesn't require our kids 7:30 in the morning getting on a bus for 8:30 start at Sinsheimer? So I think me and several other people are somewhat skeptical about reliable bus service if we take you up on the grandfather option. And you know, now we're paying $180 per year per kid to ride the bus, and we have some expectation that we get a certain level of service for that money. And some parents might choose to move their kids now to Los Ranchos if the thought was that future bus service would be modified. Okay, so that's, I think, the main issue that I'd like some feedback on. Thank you.
Thank you. You should be aware that the rules of public comment preclude our responding to you. We can just listen to you at this point in time, but we are listening.
There's two.
The other thing I was going to say is that we could address this issue when we get to item number 6, because that would be a more appropriate time to talk about it.
Okay. Reports by school staff and student representatives. We'll move to our student representatives. Can we get my eyes on here? I always mispronounce your name. Is it Chaney?
Chaney.
Chaney. Okay, thank you. From San Luis High School.
Okay, so I'm Chaney Butcher. Just an update on things that happened over spring break. Our choir went to Carnegie Hall in New York City, and I think it was a real success, and everyone had a really good time. That's all I've been hearing about. Also, our Latin club went to the Junior Classical League competition down in Irvine. They won first in the state for the medium-sized school division. They also received 41 different individual awards, and Greg Larson was the overall academic champion out of about 300 Latin 2 students, so we're really excited that they did really well. This week, our virtual enterprise group is competing in the National Competition and Trade Fair in New York. Also this month, we are having a Pennies for Polio drive. On the 11th, our Rotary Club is the Rotary Club Job Shadow, so students involved, there will be students involved with people from the Rotary Club at their jobs. On the 12th and 13th, we are having a blood drive at our school. Also on the 13th, from 5:30 to 8 o'clock, is the Black and Gold review, and there will also be a barbecue. On the 16th, in the gym, the Interact Club is hosting Donkey Basketball. It's a fundraiser at 6:30. From the 18th to the 21st, our pep squad is having their tryouts. On the 19th, our grad night ticket sales will be available. And star testing will start the 26th and go till the 29th. And we're having a rally for that on the 22nd to get ready. And Mr. Jones is going to be performing the national anthem on the guitar. So we're really excited about that. And that's what's going on.
Thank you. Corey.
Hi, I'm Corey Rotasio, and I'm the school board representative for Pacific Beach High School. On April 8th, we're planning a trip to the Tech Fair at Cuesta College, and everybody's pretty much turned in their permission slips, and everybody's looking forward to having a good time. And we'd really, really like to thank Dr. Olker for helping Randy very much. She was having lots of troubles, and she really needed the help. That was very much appreciated. And we had an awards assembly on Friday, and just for mock trial awards and for the writing contest awards, we had 15 people enter, and we had 3 winners at the county level. PJ Pineda, Yovana, and Matt Stiles all won awards. A few months ago, I talked about the People First program, where a few of our students went to go create a video about adult handicapped people where they could tell you how they feel. And we now have the completed version of that DVD, so if any of you want one, just talk to Mr. Mitchell over there. And that's about all that's going on.
Thank you.
Nisa. I'm Nisa Nan Curvis, the representative from Morro Bay High School. I'd like to start by saying that we had 2 men pass away over break that graduated from Morro Bay High School. One was a 2001 graduate, CJ Starlings. The other was a 1998 graduate, Joel Freiler. We would just like to send our condolences to the families that knew them. They will be deeply missed. They're both great men. On to more cheerful events, choir recently came back from Carnegie Hall. Like she said, the kids all liked it so much. They all enjoyed it. They were one out of the 3 schools that performed there. They sang with major orchestras and the 2 soloists, and I think it was an overall a great experience. We had 2 kids, Dana Wilkie and Eric Pinocchio, pass the written exam for the 4 treble shooting contest, and now we'll be attending the hands-on contest on May 6th. WASC visited us March 7th, 8th, and 9th, and we will be finding out at the end of May how we did. We would like to say that we really appreciate the support that the Board of Trustees and Central Administration provided for Morro Bay High School in preparation for WASC. And now we are getting ready for our distinguished school visit on April 7th. We had a few fundraisers, Pennies for Patients, which fundraised for lymphoma and leukemia patients. We made $1,042, and that's something the leadership put on. And then we had a tsunami fundraiser, which Peer Helpers and Key Club put on, and they made just over $2,000. We have a blood drive coming up on the 29th from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock at the high school. A reverse drawing at Parks and Rec building on the 23rd from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Star testing is starting on April 25th. We have open house April 13th, which is Wednesday. Next Wednesday, 5:15 is the dinner, and 7 o'clock you go around to the classes. You guys are all more than welcome to come. And also Mock Rock, April 15th is in the new gym at 7. We have tons of good acts. It's going to be really good Mock Rock, and you guys should come to that. It's always really fun. Our dance company is performing on April 7th, which is Thursday, and then also on Friday the 8th at 7 o'clock in the old gym, which you guys are also more than welcome to come to. And our high schoolers are currently making their decisions on which colleges they're going to be going to. And then the 8th graders are in the process of registering for next year, and they will be doing that on the 19th and the 20th. And just so you know, we will be having prom on May 7th. The juniors are working very hard on that. Hopefully it's good. And AP testing will begin at the beginning of May. That's all.
Thank you very much. As always, you're all welcome to stay and participate in the meeting, listen to what's going on. Or we're also mindful that you have classwork and other things to do, so feel free to leave at any time. And thank you for joining us. Oh, Mrs. Dickinson.
Such a gentleman. I just wanted to say I'm eager to see that People First video. I hope I get a chance to see it. I'd like to borrow it. One good thing about ongoing education is teachers keep learning new things. I remember Dr. Roof's Ed 440 class 2 or 3 years ago where we talked about person-first language. So you don't want to say, you know, a learning disabled person. You want to say a person who has a learning disability. Or you don't want to say, you know, a schizophrenic person, but a person who has schizophrenia. So the person is first, because they have so many other, you know, wonderful qualities and gifts and characteristics. So the disability, whatever it might be, is just one factor. So I think that person-first language is very important.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Just a quick administrative report. I would like to just, you in front of you have the playbill that was given out the evening of the Carnegie Hall that we thought you'd like to all have a souvenir. Dr. Jones and I brought that for you. No, and I just need for you to know that this is different than the last New York trip that we went on. They sang quite a bit and practiced a little bit, but they sang quite a bit in the last trip because they were so prepared when they first walked in. This time they were so prepared, but they had to practice for 5 or 6 or 7 hours on Saturday, most of it standing. They had to practice on Sunday afternoon for 4 or 5 hours. They came back in on Monday and practiced in the afternoon with the full orchestra and one of the soloists. And then on Tuesday, the day of the performance, they practiced in the morning for about an hour and a half with Dr. Jessup. And then they practiced in the afternoon for about 2 hours with the two soloists and Dr. Jessup. And attending the practices was almost better than the actual performance, because there were certain things that they sang that he kept repeating over and over again. You wanted to hear them again and again, because there were certain things in the Requiem that were just absolutely fantastic. And our students, all the students that were there, worked really, really, really hard. And this time they got a full understanding of what it is to be a professional. They practiced for months before they went. They had all this distance vision that they did with Dr. Jessup. And then when they got there, they were working with one of the 5 top choir directors in the United States. And the two soloists were top soloists. And the orchestra is a renowned orchestra starting back in 1976. It was just an unbelievable experience. And when they sang that night, it was, you know, to my ears, flawless. Absolutely unbelievable how well they did. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And we really thank the board and the appreciation of allowing us to go on this trip. And it was just absolutely fantastic. And it was a great experience for the kids. And Will's going to talk in a minute about it, too. From a different note, while I'm still here, I want you to know that you are on Thursday is our distinguished school at Morro Bay High School visit. If you can come to lunch at 12, between 12 and 12:30, we'd love to have you. And then the actual report will be done about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The lunch will be in the Career Center, and the report that they give us, which will be a brief report, will be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the lecture demo room. And you're all welcome.
Okay. Pete, before you go, if you become aware of a CD that's available for purchase from this concert experience. Would you let us know?
Yeah, and they worked really hard with Carnegie Hall on that, and we think we're going to have a CD. What we'd like to have is a visual, and there's been some difficulty because of union rules and whatever about getting a visual, and I think the only person who might have one would be Mr. Lamprecht, but who knows? We might be able to do something with that too. But we will. We'll let you know. Because I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. The first part of the performance was the three groups working individually, and I believe Mr. Jones and all of us there would agree that our students stood out. And then when they came together after the intermission and they sang, it was just a phenomenal experience to hear them. You know, as a total choir with the orchestra, it was just really something. And in Carnegie Hall, of all things, it brings tears to your eyes. So,
okay,
thank you.
Keep us posted, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Unger.
Brian Lawler was the official trip photographer, and I spoke to Mr. Lawler on the trip, and he will, I believe, be putting together a CD of photos that he took on the trip. And with the board's permission, we would like to be able to have him make a short presentation at the next meeting. So if he's able to get that together and if that's okay with the board, we'd like to do that.
Fabulous. Mr. Jones,
good
sorry
evening.
To leave you standing.
That's quite all right. And I just want to echo Pete's comments and about what a wonderful experience it was for the students, and thank you for your support of them. And the only thing I can really say about the difference between our students and how they performed and other students who are also exceptional is, and this might sound kind of odd because we are here in California, but our kids sing with a lot of soul and passion, and that communicates to audiences every place they go. And I think that's a tribute to them and the connection that they want to make with their audiences and also the connection they have with their, as I wrote in my letter to the editor at the Tribune, their incomparable director, Gary Lamprecht. And I also want to thank all the parent chaperones who were there that helped support us and to shepherd our kids through the streets of New York City for a week. They did a wonderful job. Cricket Handler from Slo High School and Mrs. Marley from Morro Bay High School, who were assistants to Gary. And it was just a great experience all the way around. It's been a wonderful month for our students at both high schools. And as you heard from Shaney earlier, our virtual enterprise team is currently in New York City competing in the international virtual enterprise competition or national competition. And I wanted to just show you this magazine, 2020, which is a trade magazine. Maybe Dr. Olker is familiar with it. But the students, the virtual enterprise team, was featured in the magazine for the month of March. And I'll just quickly read the first article, Design of a Decade. The students at San Luis Obispo High School have found their winning ways thanks to a little decade dense. The teenagers competed in an international virtual enterprise program and placed third in the state of California with their business, Decade of Shades, a simulated sunwear company specializing in vintage sun styles from decades past as well as styles from the present and future. Now the kids are moving on to the national competition that will be held this month in New York. So I thank you for their for supporting them as well, and I hope that we'll come back here in a couple of weeks with the good news about their success in New York also. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on. Mr. Miller, status of the state budget.
There's not a whole lot new to report. There has been a solidification in the governor's position related to his platforms on teacher merit pay, Prop 98, and a couple of other issues. He's not backing away, and he continues to go forward. The initiative process is probably going to be the arena in which these issues are going to be looked at. There are particularly poorly written initiatives that are going to talk about very sophisticated issues, and it's very concerning about the title, you know, spending within your means, and in that title is a methodology to remove over $4 billion of funding annually from education. So I think that as we go forward through June, July, the initiative, by the way, will happen sometime in November probably. As we go forward through the next couple of months, it will be important for us to remain informed and watchful about what's going on within the governor's program and how that's going to come forward. I don't, on our own district level, I don't think that there are many items that have surfaced at this time which we need to be concerned about in terms of our budget. There certainly are a lot of different requirements and mandates and measurements and penalties and other things which are being talked about and actually being implemented. But for the time being, it's pretty much a concern of ours to remain below the radar in terms of what's going on in the state versus what's going on in our own district. So we have a very fortunate moment right now, and we don't want to overlook that. So I would only advise that everybody stay vigilant and informed about the process that the governor's using.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Yes, Mrs. Botwin.
I just wanted to jump in here on something that Jim Sousa was going to be dealing with today and we'll deal with in the future. But one of the governor's strong plans, of course, is for vocational ed. And I did give Kim tonight some information that Mr. Sousa gave us at our last meeting, and I asked her to send it out to all the board members. There's a number of things in there that are going to be very beneficial for our district, mainly because of our our involvement with the ROP. And excuse me, one of the things that they're looking at is that they want to have concurrent classes, that kids take classes in high school that will be acceptable and get full credit for it at Cuesta or elsewhere and so on. And we, as I mentioned a couple of months ago, we are already doing that successfully. But anyway, the information that you get, don't read it all. Just I marked a couple of spots that were really kind of important. And if you want to read it all, go right ahead. But I just thought that this ties in with where he's going with the $20 million that may be coming through in one way or another to ROP, maybe one of the head honchos that gets some of that money. Thank you.
Okay, we have number three, a public hearing. Mr. Robinette.
As the board is aware, we have reached agreement with the Service Employees International Union, Local 620, and the association has ratified that agreement. The board will have the opportunity to approve that agreement at a later action consent item. This item is on the agenda for the purpose of any public comment.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to comment on this item? Seeing no one, then we will close the public hearing and move on. Item number four is a resolution, resolution number 090405, determination of sufficient textbooks and instructional materials.
I move adoption of a resolution number 090405.
Those in favor?
No.
Aye. Opposed?
Oh, I beg
it's
your pardon.
It's a roll call.
Oh, did you have discussion?
I know, but then we'll go on to the vote.
I'm sorry. I just moved right along after the movement. I don't tap it with your fingers. Dad.
We just want to thank Mary Matakovich for her excellent work in preparing this report and everything that you do. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, as long as we're commenting, I had made a notation here. The K-12 health adoption will be considered in 2005-06 to be implemented in the fall of 06, and I had noted considered with a question mark. I don't know if that was just verbiage, or I may have resolved it for myself as I went through. Dr. Matakovich, could you just explain to me, what does considered mean in that regard?
It means we'll go through the process of adopting materials in that year and for implementation in 07.
So we have, there are curricular materials available to us that meet the state standards, and
correct.
It's just a matter of going through the review and selection.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, who moved and who seconded?
I moved. Thank you, our doctor over seconded. And the minute is on, it's ready for a roll call.
Okay.
Mr. Millar?
Aye.
Dr. Olker?
Yes.
Mrs. Botwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mrs. Dickinson? Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Thank you. I am going to subvert it. Passes unanimously. Okay. Item number 5 is again a resolution number 100405.
Move to approve.
Having to do with the early retirement option. And I'll second that. So it's moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by myself. Is there any board discussion?
Madam Chair, thank you. At this point in time, do we have any numbers on people who have submitted for retirement?
The resolution has to be adopted before we can start accepting any kind of resignations that apply to the resolution itself.
I'll rephrase the question. Ignoring the resolution, at this time, how many people have submitted for retirement?
Yeah, about 4 to 6.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Mr. Millar.
Thank you. This item did get some press coverage recently, and just for clarification for folks who may watch this later, the resolution contains language, Mr. Millar, does it not, that makes sure we get the requisite number of early retirements and that this costs out as an economic benefit to the district? Is that kind of it in a nutshell?
The answer to both questions is yes. That there is a prerequisite amount that's necessary. That number is 8. And once we reach the 8th resignation, then we will be offering $20,000 to each retiree. The methodology of saving money is based upon having high-paid teachers being replaced by nobody or low-paid teachers. And to the extent that we have declining enrollment and a staff that at this moment in time wasn't seen as having many resignations, an incentive to retire is not only profitable, but it's important to avoid layoffs and other negative effects of declining enrollment. So we will save money, and we will also save morale.
And in those cases where we may need to bring in a newer teacher because of one of these retirements, we don't actually hire very often brand new teachers, do we? We actually hire fairly experienced teachers in.
That's correct.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank you.
And I would say it's not low-paid teachers, but lesser-paid teachers.
Thank you for that correction. You are correct. You can phrase it anyway.
All right. If there's no further discussion, then it was Mrs. Holmes. It was moved by Dr. Olker and seconded by myself.
Dr. Olker?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mrs. Dickinson?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Mrs. Botwin?
Yes.
Okay, action discussion. Item 6. Boundary adjustment, Arbor's area mitigation from Sinsheimer Elementary School to Los Ranchos Elementary School. Mr. Parker.
Good evening, Madam Chair. We're back after having visited with the public regarding this topic. We summarized the questions that we received from the interested parents who attended our public meeting. And certainly answer any questions. I could speak about transportation, which was raised by Mrs.
That would
Smith.
Be good.
We have done our best to predict what the transportation solution would look like next year, given the parameters that we have in place this year. Every year with transportation, we get changes. We get changes with special ed students. We get changes with changes in enrollment. Sometimes buses get overfilled. And we're always making changes in transportation. So I hate to make any sort of a promise that it will look exactly like this next year or 2 years out or 3 years out. I would say that it would be consistent with transportation elsewhere in the district. At least that would be our intent unless we're directed otherwise.
Yes, please.
Brad, when you say that, if the numbers stay approximately the same, we could give a fair assurance of the bus situation, at least with the numbers in mind?
Well, we predict that the numbers will be constantly changing as students migrate to Los Ranchos and we have fewer students going to Sinsheimer. We also have predictions of some increases in enrollment in the southern end of the district, which are going to make changes to transportation. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I hesitate to make any promises unless the board directs us to do so, because transportation is always being adjusted on an annual basis. And we have no intention of doing anything differently with this group of students than any other group of students in the district. So where there's nothing on our minds to short circuit or give them longer routes, it would be the best solution that we can fabricate based upon the conditions at any given year.
Are you making a presentation, Brad? I didn't want to interrupt. I had some more questions.
Well, I really don't have a lot to say. We had a good meeting with the public. I think we did our best to answer the questions and allay some of the concerns that the parents had. Other than that, I don't think there's been a real large hue and cry or objection about the proposal. Some legitimate and understandable concerns were raised, and those are listed here in the item tonight. So we would ask the board consider this, and if in agreement, to and act on the recommendation.
So, Mr. Parker, is the... I just had to talk to Dr. Olker about it because I couldn't remember the distance beyond which we offer transportation as an option to parents, the mm-hmm. distance home to school. Is the Arbors within that transportable distance to both Sinsheimer and Los Ranchos?
It is outside the walking boundary, the walking distance. Plus, we make many exceptions to that whenever there's no... good walking route to school. And we make exceptions to that whenever we can accommodate someone who would like to have transportation and they're within the walking radius, even though there's a good walking route and we have space available, we welcome them onto the bus.
Okay. Mr. Millar. Oh, I beg your pardon, Mrs. Botwin.
Thank you. It didn't matter. I had a couple of questions. So there was one comment from the public that said if we made some kind of skateboard trail between the Arbors and Los Ranchos, we would get a lot more kids that would go out there. And you know, at first it sounds silly. Yeah, exactly. But when you think about that, if we could get parents to volunteer to kind of supervise along the way a little bit, it's not a bad idea. We could eliminate PE and have them to and from.
Always the innovator, Mrs. Botwin.
There is a particular question I had there. On the page 6.1, Brad, the third question and answer from the bottom, what will the bus service look like if this change occurs? It's, again, the third question and answer from the bottom. It says this would also entail an AM transfer between two buses that would meet at French Park.
Yes.
So that's when the kids are going from the Arbors to French Park, and then they get off the bus at French Park. Is that right? They get on the bus that goes to Los Ranchos, and there's a 10-minute time span during that transfer. That's only in the AM. That's not in the PM?
Correct.
So in the PM, they get on the bus and go straight home.
In the PM, they would follow the route as we have depicted on 6.3. In the AM, where you have a time constraint,
uh-huh.
we have a limited time with which to make pickups and drop-offs because we're sandwiched between middle school and high school, and there are demands placed upon just how much time we have. In the afternoon, when school's out, we have more leeway. And so the solution, my transportation staff, and I asked all three of my transportation experts to review this for me, and they assure me that given circumstances the way they exist today, that this is accurate within 1 or 2 minutes.
Wonderful. I wanted to also make a comment, being involved for many years on and off with the bus times where kids get on at the Arbors and travel for 45, 55 minutes to go to Sinsheimer. These bus times are considerably shorter and more reasonable, and we'll have more live kids get there. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Millar?
I just wanted to commend Brad and the other folks working on this project. I think the reason there hasn't been the hue and cry that you referred to is because you all are out in front doing this and making the adjustments that we know we're going to have to make as more housing comes online, particularly in the Hawthorne Attendance District. And I just want to commend you folks for getting out in front of this and starting to take care of solutions now.
Thank you.
Mrs. Dickinson.
It will be. Here we go. I just wanted to, in response to parent concerns, even though we can't say what bus service will look like, we probably could say that there would be bus service and that it wouldn't be like a whole hour to get to Sinsheimer, that it would be, every effort would be made to have it be as short as possible.
Absolutely.
I mean, those kind of reassurances, I don't know if they mean enough, but it seems like they would mean something to at least...
An example is that we provide bus service to interdistrict transfers almost without exception, even if they want to transfer from Del Mar attendance area to Los Ranchos. I mean, we have the mechanism to do it. Obviously, a complicated transfer like that takes a longer amount of time. But I would expect, unless directed otherwise, that we would look for the very best solution each and every year.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Unger.
Well, I just wanted to comment that my experience in the past has been that when there have been problems with the busing, and we've heard parents come before us and talk about concerns they had with busing, that that the staff has tried real hard to accommodate those concerns and make it work as well as possible for people.
Yes, I'm going to move to approve item number 6.
Okay, moved by Dr. Olker and seconded by Mrs. Dickinson. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Item 7, limited term positions for summer technology infrastructure project, presented by Mr. Robinette.
Thank you. Again, the board is well aware that we are embarking on a major renovation project of our technology infrastructure that is beginning right now and will have the bulk of the work taking place this summer. What has not been prepared in all of this replacement of servers and switches and infusion of new technology and compatibility with our existing systems is the human resource part of the project. And so for this reason, we are recommending the creation of 3 full-time limited-term positions, 2 computer technicians and 1 network specialist. These are positions that are already classified within our classified salary structures, but these would be limited-term positions that could, under our merit system rules, be of no more than a 6-month duration. And the purpose for these positions is to allow the business of the district to continue while we are also working on this major renovation project. And I'm available for any questions, as I'm sure Amelia would be also.
Thank you. Dr. Olker.
I was just going to move to approve item number 7.
I'll second. Moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by myself. Board discussion? Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, the action consent agenda. Please let me know if you would like any of the items pulled. Item 8, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Item 9, approval of proposed salary increases for positions exempt from the merit system. Item 10, approval of reopener agreement with Service Employees International Union. Item 11, acceptance of donations. Item 12, disposition of surplus property. Item 13, approval of furniture and equipment requests. Item 14, approval of purchase orders. Item 15, approval of warrants and payroll.
I move approval of items 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15.
And I'll second. Moved by Mr. Unger and seconded by myself. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Reports by board members and administrators?
Yes, I'd like to express my displeasure with the inability to have one clean slate of the action consent item, and I didn't get to, to forward the motion.
The historic significance was just lost on me, or I would have let you do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I wouldn't have.
Dr. Valentine.
I just wanted to remind the board that we will be working to set up a board retreat date. Thank you for those of you that have responded as to what dates. We gave a list of suggested dates won't work for you. It's easier to work with what won't work for you than what will. And I'd just like to thank those who are yet to let us know what days won't work for them as well, and hope that that'll happen soon.
Ed, could Kim? I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask, how do we find out which category
Kim,
we're in?
Kim, could you tell us those of who have responded and those who haven't? Yes.
Shame the non-responders, Mrs. Holmes.
Do you really want to know? Well, Mr. Millar, we're just eager for your response. And Mrs. Botwin, thank you for asking, because we're also eager for yours. Not yet. Okay. The rest of you are in. That's okay. We got plenty of time.
Could you have the dates again? I've forgotten.
It was every Saturday between now and the middle of July. Yeah, we'll send it to you on Friday.
Okay. Yes, Mrs. Botwin.
I do have. Are we back to topics on information?
Yes. Reports by board members.
I just wanted to report the 2 weeks ago I went to a regional occupational program meeting, ROP, in Cambria, and had dinner there at their high school. Very nicely done meal, by the way. And toured their ag department, bought some mint, and bought some other things from the kids that were showing us what they were growing out there, and had a presentation. And it was marvelous. We not only got to mingle with the kids and see various things they were doing. And the ROP, Walt's going to go on the next one because we'll be out of the country. I gave you the date already, and you better have it, Walt, because I've forgotten it. But anyway, the fabulous part of it, and Jim Souza, who will be seeing him soon is our superintendent of the ROP, is a shining leader. And gets us very actively involved with all these districts, the different schools, the different techniques, the different people that are involved, and it's a beautiful thing. And I enjoyed it very much. And I just wanted to pass that on, that my mint is alive, but my daisies died. So I'm going to take it back to the school and have them replace it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Dickinson.
I was visiting my parents down in Laverne, always reading the letters to the editor everywhere I go, and it's pretty appalling the level of ignorance in the state of California right now regarding this whole issue with the governor and the budget and teachers and the whole thing. And I got on California School Board Association website, and they have something that's really interesting on there, where many school districts in California have adopted resolutions addressing this issue. There's a whole list of them. And they suggest that the school boards, they have a sample one, a lot of whereases, starting with, whereas the Education Coalition agreed last year to accept $2 billion less than the amount guaranteed to California schools under Proposition 98. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I see backing up there. In order to help the state ease its record budget deficit, and whereas larger than projected general fund revenues mean that the state owes California schools an additional $1.4 billion this year as part of the deal made with the governor and approved by the legislature. And there's several. It outlines the whole thing. It's a sample one. And I just wanted to know if we would like to consider in a future time looking at that and adopting one. I think it would be a great idea.
I'd like to see that in its entirety. But on the face of just what you've presented, I'm certainly supportive.
Okay. Can we put that on the agenda? Okay.
Mrs. Holmes?
Yes.
Mr. Unger.
Yeah, I just, of course, everybody by now knows that I was fortunate enough to go to New York City, and there are a couple of other people that I'd like to thank. I think, first of all, that Mr. Jones and Mr. Zotovich really said it all, and they were there, and it was wonderful to have the high school administration support the trip because it was beyond belief. But again, I think we need to recognize Cricket Handler from San Luis High School, who really is Gary's right-hand person there, and the trip could not have been done without Cricket, as well as at Morro Bay High School, Shannon Marley, who coordinated everything for Morro Bay High School. And then an unsung hero is Ingrid Ingush, I think is her last name, from Gulliver's Travels, who put it all together and was able to send 150-plus people to New York City and do a great job with it. Just a reminder to everybody, school open house season is beginning. I believe Pacheco's is tomorrow night. Del Mar's is Thursday night coming up, so I would invite all parents to be sure and go to your school open house and show support for your schools and your teachers. Some of you may have on your school district emails gotten requests to support SC8, which is a bill authored by Senator Joe Simidian, which would lower the threshold for passing parcel taxes to 55% as opposed to 2/3. And if you got that, just go ahead and click on the link, and it'll automatically print up a letter for you. And it will send a copy of the letter to Senator Maldonado and Assemblyman Blakeslee. So I would ask that everybody please, especially after our experience with the parcel tax and our 66%, which we couldn't be sure of, it would be nice to be able to assure a revenue stream that we can depend on from the community. We are a community-supported school district. And the last thing is our two jazz bands are going to be going to the Fullerton Jazz Festival this weekend and participating there and competing, both SLO and Morro Bay High School. So we look forward to hearing how they do. We need to be reminded again that we just got a fantastic music program here, and that should not be walked by. We've got a great choir program, but also our band and programs are really spectacular as well.
Mrs. Dickinson.
This is a very special night in one regard, and that is it's Dr. Brand's last meeting with us up here in front. And I want to say, coming on as a new board member, what was my analogy? I just think that you've been awesome the whole time. I guess it was like my training wheels or something. I feel like they're going off when Dr. Brand leaves. It's kind of... Anyway, you've been great with all of us, and we appreciate your expertise and professionalism and knowledge. And Robert made ginger cookies in your honor tonight. So we appreciate you.
We don't have another interim job for him? There must be something.
Is it possible, Dr. Brand, that if we need somebody to come in and do some consulting, you would be interested?
I'm always available.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, too. You've been wonderful. You were a wonderful bridge, and you did a great job. Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to second that. It's really been a pleasure working with you. And you jumped in and filled a void when we really needed someone. Dr. Valentine.
I don't want any of this celebration to cut off the continuing conversations about whether or not this is Dr. Brand's last night.
Advance agenda?
I just had one other thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Olden.
I was going to say to Dr. Brand, I was the sole board member that was not keen on having an interim superintendent come in, and, I hate to be proven wrong. So thanks, Bill, for all the service you've done for us and all the help.
Okay, do we have any items for an advance agenda?
Move to adjourn.
Moved by Dr. Olker and seconded by Mr. Unger. Those in favor? Aye. Opposed?
I know my job.
That's unanimous.
Excellent job tonight, ladies and gentlemen.